Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome in. This is the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Dustin Hawkinsmith and Jim Galante here, coming to you from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. We've got a training camp-centric show for you today, coming off of, you know, opening weekend, media day. We got a few storylines to cover. We also have this week some James Franklin clips. We're going to, what we call it, James Franklin Speaks. So we're going to spend a little bit of time listening to what he had to say on Saturday and just giving a brief analysis of what that might mean for Penn State going into the future. So the first thing we're going to do is we're just going to roll down through some of the other odds and ends that weren't coming from James Franklin. And if we have time, we'll get to, in the middle part of last week, a little recruiting activity as well. So, Jimmy, I just wanted to start at the quarterback position because that's where it all begins. We've got a show coming up later this week. It's also going to start with the quarterback position. And just, on a couple fronts here. Number one, just heard a little bit more about the quote-unquote competition between Sean Clifford and Will Levis. I don't think I've gotten your official, thought on this. Is this a competition? Like, if you're representing the average Penn State fan, what would you say is the expectation that Will Levis can actually win this thing?
He can't, unless Clifford breaks a leg. I shouldn't say that, right? Maybe jinx him. But to me, it was even when it was going to be between Tommy and Sean Clifford. Yeah. I thought Tommy was going to be the starter. He's the incumbent. That's the way it would have worked. It's nice to say it's a competition. And I feel the same way now. They'll say it's a competition. In fact, I was stunned on last week's show with Bob Flounders and Andy. Bob actually gave his percentages of who he thought would be the starter. And he gave Levis a 25% chance. And I thought even that was way high. I think it's like 90 to 10, 95-5.
Yeah. I would agree with it. And it's really just nothing about what Will Levis is or isn't doing because – you know, this feels like Trace and Tommy all over again in that they really love Will Levis and they want to give him a legitimate shot. And this is a legitimate shot to not rule out anything until, close to when that first game approaches is giving him the best possible shot. Just mathematically, with only one player being able to play, one guy being on campus for longer, one guy doing a lot of leadership and development type things in the winter and the spring, it's just hard to imagine Will Levis actually making it quote unquote obvious that he's the better quarterback, the one that they can trust more. And the trust component is why the older guy almost always has a lead that just can't be overcome.
And another part to that, and I think it would have been the same way between Tommy and Sean, if you've got not the incumbent, but the heir apparent, and you put Sean Clifford out there and he does not do well, you could then bring Levis in. It's a little harder to do it the other way, I believe. If you give Levis the starting nod, it's a little harder then to take him out and bring in. It's a confidence type thing. If you don't start Sean Clifford the first game, have you lost him? So I think for a lot of reasons, not the least of which is I think we're all very impressed with Sean Clifford and think he's going to do a great job. I don't want to steal from our segment later in the week when we talk about quarterbacks, but the bottom line is I think everyone's going to be happy with Sean Clifford at quarterback, and if need be, Levis is not a bad backup.
And Will Levis does have, he fits a similar athletic profile as Tommy Stevens, so you are going to have the ability to work him in there somehow or another. If anything, if he is your backup, just to keep him content and involved, just the same way that they did with Tommy. The issue, of course, is that now you have two true freshmen vying for that number three quarterback job. How ready do you think they would be if you suddenly need a backup quarterback? Like, how ready would Michael Johnson Jr. be or Taquan Roberson if suddenly they're thrust into a high-leverage position?
Right. My take on that, too, is you have pushed – at some point you have to decide the pecking order of those two freshmen. And if you still had three quarterbacks ahead of them, you could have pushed that decision off for another year.
Yeah.
Now that's – agenda has been pushed up a year, you got to decide pretty quickly who's your number three.
Yeah.
Because stuff happens and you could end up playing your number three. So I think they pushed that decision up a lot sooner than they would have liked.
We'll talk more about quarterbacks later this week. But on the Sean Clifford front, speaking about Flounders, he wrote a piece over the weekend that really just touched on, I think is a topic that we've covered before, just the assumption or the belief that Sean Clifford is a huge step down from Trace McSorley athletically. And really his piece said that McSorley ran a 4.57 in the 40 at the NFL Combine. That's an official time. That one, you can take it to the bank. Sean Clifford said he ran a 4.5, call that unofficially. You can split hairs about whether that's an actual 4.5, whether that's a 4.59, whatever. But the point I think is that when it comes to straight line speed, that Sean Clifford is not a big drop down. He's pretty much equivalent. You know, whether that speed translates into game speed the same way that it translated for McSorley. Like McSorley got every ounce of his athleticism out of him. Like that was his gift, I think, is that he was a good athlete. Nobody seemed to believe as a high school player that he could cut it at this level as a quarterback. He didn't have the biggest arm. He didn't have the most accurate arm, but he was such a gamer that, you know, the way he approached the game and his instincts and his competitiveness elevated all his physical attributes. That's what we don't know yet about Sean Clifford. Is he going to be as quick to diagnose and take off in the right situation? Is he going to be able to extend plays using that same speed and athleticism as McSorley did? But like athlete for athlete, you know, I thought looking at Sean Clifford's high school film a while back, he just looked like he was a little bit better, a little bit bigger than McSorley was as a high school player, a little bit better arm than McSorley. And I thought athletically, he looked to be a little bit better athlete than McSorley. I guess time will tell, but I don't want to call it a non-issue, but it should not be something that you're concerned about as a fan.
Exactly. I don't think you should have concern over it, but the straight line speed I don't think is all that important when you're talking about a quarterback running. I think it's the decision-making process.
Yes.
How quick does he decide to run with the ball when it's appropriate? And does he do it at the right time when it's third down and four and he's able to run for 5 yards? He's got to make that decision quick to do that and move the chains. That's what you're going to worry about most. And only time will tell if Sean can do that.
And the other part of it, not just quickly diagnosing, but being able to get that quick first step, that first 10 yards is the most important thing. So if you're not full speed until yards 25 on, then I'm not sure how much that straight line speed really matters. You're not going to see him running 40 yards very often. It's the Keystone Kickoff Show. We're talking Penn State football coming off of Media Day this past weekend. A few news and notes. We got James Franklin, some quotes from him coming up. Segment brought to you by GoPSURV.com, where they're offering something very special for just about 10 more days or so. Any RV you book for any game until August 15th will include a 409 barbecue meal for each member of your party. We advertised this before. Mark from GoPSURV was running a buy one, get one deal that ran through the end of July. And I think he extended even to the first day of August, didn't he?
Just to make sure for those people who showed interest who still wanted to do it, yes.
Right. So he's got this going. And this isn't limited to the first couple games of the season like the buy one, get one was. This is for any game of the year. But you got to book by August 15th to get this. It's a fantastic little perk. Like I'm a big believer in the GoPSURV experience anyway. And the environment that you're going to stay in, it's a tailgate environment for the whole weekend. You're not leaving football. You're not leaving tailgating to go back to some hotel or whatever. You are immersed in that. That's why we call it the ultimate tailgating experience. Now to get one less thing to worry about. You know, you don't have to worry about getting to Beaver Stadium and back. You don't have to worry about much of anything. You go, come show up, hang out, and now you don't have to worry about, you know, your meals with 409.
Exactly.
So we talked about Sean Clifford and the quarterbacks. I wanted to get on a couple things from Brent Pry, who had some good things to say about a number of players you might be curious about. Let's start with the linebackers. Brandon Smith, Lance Dixon. These are both guys who were former five stars. You know, 24/7 Sports in particular was very high on both of them, had them as the number one and two linebackers in the country in the 2019 class. They enrolled in January. Physically, they made a lot of progress from the time they got there until now. Lance Dixon, a phenomenal athlete. Brandon Smith, a phenomenal athlete who is 6'3", 240 pounds with like a 7-foot wingspan. These are unique kids, and you know, Pry expressed some kind of belief. It's early in practice, but expressed some belief that one or both of these guys could play this season. We just don't know what that would look like, what their role would be. But I thought it was telling to have him, you know, being very complimentary of these guys.
Yeah, whenever you hear the coach bring up players in that way, you know that there's something special going on with those players. And those two specifically, when they're that kind of talent, you don't hold them back as red shirts. Just the nature of the beast now in college football. You're going to have them at most for 4 years, and a very good chance it may only be 3 years. If they're that special, you get them in there. Now, it may be special circumstances. Lance Dixon could be, you know, that sort of safety, sort of linebacker type on passing downs, that type of thing. And Brandon Smith is just a special talent also. So I don't think it's any surprise that we might see them on the field as freshmen.
Lance Dixon listed at 6'2", 213. You know, he was a safety for, I believe, the first 2 years of his high school career. Then he converted to linebacker. He's not one of these hybrid types that we've seen Penn State not quite be able to cash, that you're Braylon Faison, Walton, and that kind of player. He's a guy who's got actual linebacker experience. You know, obviously Brandon Smith being 27 pounds heavier, you look at him a little bit more closely. You know, you have presumably your starters picked out with Micah Parsons, Cam Brown, and Jan Johnson. You've got Ellis Brooks and Jesse Lucado, who are probably going to be linebackers number 4 and 5, but that might still be up for some debate. If all else fails and you only get, you know, some impact special teams plays out of these guys, and for year two they have felt what Big Ten game speed is, they've made plays, they've played in front of big crowds, they've gotten all the stuff that makes you wide-eyed out of your system now, it'll beat preserving the redshirt by a million miles. These are guys who aren't going to be around for year five. I'm pretty confident in that. So let's use them now.
Exactly. And you still have that four-game thing with freshmen, so you have a chance to experiment with them. And is it not the first game Cam Brown misses the first half?
Yes.
So you're down a linebacker already for the first game. What a great opportunity. Put these guys in and see what they can do, and they may force their way on the field.
We'll see. We'll track that through camp. We got more coming up from Brent Pry and from some other news and notes. Stick around.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon, stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today. 409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces our tailgate wines. Like our great sauces and rubs, you'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue, made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about our Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all our PA preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com.